This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We got a lot to get to. Mike Bell, the NFL, there is movement. And the trade deadline is approaching. Teams are making deals. We'll certainly hit on this, guys, because I'm wondering, with our pass rush, and I don't want to say issues. I will just say lack of it, okay? Are we going to be a mover and shaker when it comes to the trade deadline? Now, in the front office with Flowery Branch, Mike, they may be like, look, we're fine, defense is fine, we're going to be okay, but you see the Jets today making a deal to go get Devontae Adams. This was in the works, guys. We've been talking about it for weeks. The Jets finally give in and say, yeah, what do you need? Okay, we'll give you a third that can turn into a second. But, Mike, this isn't going to be the only deal here over the next few weeks.
No, and I know that a lot of guys, Falcon fans, look at us and say, man, can we get two of the similar guys, guys that were beefing with their teams over contracts? We got one, and Matthew Judon's been good. I just think there's really nobody consistently opposite him to help. You know, Hassan Reddick would be great. But, you know, Drew Rosenhaus, who's now repping him, says his first option is trying to make it work with the Jets. Mm. And we'll see. He's playing nice with the Jets. If they can make that happen, then and all bets are off. But I'd be willing to give up a now, again, I don't know how much you'd have to give, but I'd be willing to give up a number of picks to go get again, you got to turn around and give Hassan Reddick a multi-year deal, though.
Totally agree. We will see where this goes. We'll dive into this. But I do want to start with college football, guys, because we've got the biggest game of the year this weekend for Georgia and Texas, a top five matchup. It went from Georgia-Alabama, which was a huge matchup. Now, Mike, I feel like this is a must-win for Georgia. You're talking about a team that could be looking at two losses. And just to clear the air here, there are a bunch of teams right now with one loss. But like this weekend, when Tennessee plays Alabama, Mike, to me, that's an elimination game. Somebody's going to walk away with two L's, and you're going to be looking at them differently and saying, okay, well, are they going to be one of the top 12? And everybody just assumes that will be the case. But there are a bunch of teams that are on their way up and trending. BYU, Indiana. Right. Don't laugh. Army's undefeated and looks like they're not going to lose a game this year, maybe until Army-Navy. Who knows, because they're undefeated. There will be teams that the committee will give an opportunity to over these two lost teams.
Speaking of the committee, we're still waiting to see the committee's first rankings, right? And that might be a little bit different than what the AP or the coaches' poll looks like. But right now, I mean, you feel Miami is probably going to win the ACC. Clemson, they don't play Clemson on the schedule. They would meet in the ACC championship if everybody wins out. Iowa State, are they going to pick up an L? That's a team which is, some would say, undervalued at 9. Clemson's looking good. You mentioned Tennessee. Notre Dame always finds a way to weasel in because they're friggin' Notre Dame.
But what if Georgia Tech beats them this weekend? That's a Notre Dame team with two L's.
Mike. Yes. Well, again, we can all, and again, we're all Tech fans on that and that argument. I'm with you. But you know, what I mean, though. If they don't, Notre Dame always finds a way.
A one-loss Notre Dame team will be more viable than some of these other teams, even if they're undefeated. That I agree with. But once you get to two L's, this is the unknown. And that's why this weekend is a big deal for Georgia. Everybody just assumes, Mike, well, two L's will be fine. We still don't know how this SEC thing is going to play out. And again, you're dismissing the other teams that are maybe having one loss, Mike, that might be in front of the Dogs.
Well, like, for instance, this BYU, where, you know, BYU right now is undefeated and looks like one of the biggest sleeper teams. They're not even in the top 12 in the coaches poll, in the AP poll just yet. But BYU is a team that nobody's talking about. You know, if LSU sticks with one, that's going to be the great debate. How many of these SEC Power Four conferences are going to have guys with multiple losses that are just going to be the bigger draw than, you know, the little guy? Because this whole thing is about getting a little guy a place at the table, which you know is not going to happen.
404-726-0929. The way it looks right now, at least if you looked at the top 20 and you gave a bunch of teams outside the top 12 a chance to maybe make it in, there are no little guys, to your point. I mean, even Indiana is not considered a little guy. You're in the Big Ten. So, you know, Mike's saying, hey, look, the schools that you thought might have a real shot are not even having a chance to maybe make the move up, even if it's based on schedule and strength of schedule, et cetera.
What if Army or Navy runs the table?
Well, that's the thing. And by the way, Army's really good. I've watched three Army games this year, Mike. It hasn't even been close. Their defense is great. They've got a top five defense, and they're rushing for almost 400 yards a game.
And they're both in the top 25 right now in the AP poll. By the way, Carl and I will be at the Army-Navy game in D.C. this year. It's going to be a blast. I just saw where we're broadcasting from. You know, we're going to be at Arlington National Cemetery.
Pretty cool.
I haven't been there. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to it. But, yeah, that could be – I mean, it's always been one of our favorites. But this year it could be really literally for all the marbles if they keep winning.
All right, 404-726-0929. Who's the best team in college football? You thought it would be the Dogs, didn't we? Come on, don't lie. We thought it would be with them being ranked number one coming into the season. Here's the deal, though. It's not Alabama. And this is not a shot, and I know many of you are going to say, oh, how are you taking shots at Alabama? I'm not. But Mike, Kalen DeBoer, and you said this yesterday, is taking heat. And the reason is this, guys. They are making silly mistakes. If I told you that Alabama is one of the most penalized teams in the country, you'd be like, what? 108th nationally in penalty yards, Mike. 73 a game. They are killing themselves.
That's not saving football.
That is not. 112th in the country in penalties per game. That's 8 per game. Alabama is getting penalized 8 times a game to hurt themselves. So this is why I'm saying if Kalen DeBoer doesn't clean this up, Mike, and Alabama doesn't beat Tennessee this weekend on the road, by the way, I don't know if Alabama's going to be in the 12-team playoff.
There's no way Alabama's not in the 12-team playoff. Alabama's going to be, again, Alabama's too big a brand, too big to fail.
So we're just putting brands in and we're not looking at schedules.
Correct. Yeah, that's what the
– Then why are we playing the schedules?
Well, it's 12 now. It'll be 16 next year.
But that's next year. I'm talking about 12 right now.
Alabama with two losses is going to be fine. They'll be fine.
Okay, so you're saying, and you're willing to say this now, based on what you've seen, that Alabama is going to win out even if they lose to Tennessee. That's what you're telling me.
Well, I don't think they're going to lose to Tennessee. I think Tennessee has wobbled a little bit. I think some of the things we liked about Tennessee, all of a sudden people are starting to figure out what they're doing on offense. But but you're right, Alabama's defense doesn't look elite. But yeah, I still think Alabama, I just feel Alabama's going to be in because the point right now, if you look at the top 15, right, and I mentioned BYU, A&M, you know, there's a lot of guys on the cusp right now. Indiana, you talked about, you know, Ole Miss is done, right? Ole Miss is complete. Like, they're out. They can't lose anymore, and right now there's better teams in front of them as far as a two-loss Ole Miss. But a two-loss Bama is a bigger brand than Ole Miss. That's the logic I'm going to use on that one, and they would be in.
Okay, we still don't know who the one-loss teams are going to be in front of Alabama.
Right.
And here's the other point. This is why I say Alabama, I think, has an issue. And this is just moving forward. They still have Mizzou, by the way, and they still have LSU on the schedule that they'll have to get past, even if they get past Tennessee. They've given up 19 third downs the last two games, Mike. They can't get off the field. They look great against Georgia. The last two games where they lost and then should have lost to South Carolina, couldn't get off the field. Alabama's got some issues to correct. I think if I'm looking at this and I'm saying, is it Georgia, Alabama? I believe much more that Georgia has a legitimate chance to be in front of, and certainly one of the 12, than I do with Alabama and what they've got left on the schedule.
But again, as we always say, you know, losing your two toughest games on your schedule is not a resume builder. But it will come down to the strength of schedule, which Georgia has the advantage. But again, if Georgia loses two games and the margin of defeat is just 4 points, okay, that's something the committee may look at and say, you're fine.
What do you guys think? This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We got a lot to get to, guys. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So we had one trade today before the start of this show. Now we've got another in the NFL. What is this, the NBA? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bills have traded for Amari Cooper from the Browns for a 2025 six-round pick. Browns get a 2025 third round and a 2026 seventh round pick. So Amari Cooper, who was originally with Dallas, then traded to the Browns, is now headed to Buffalo.
Hey, I like that for the Bills. Last night was a grind of a game. We'll talk about that in just a second. But another target for Josh Allen as Keon Coleman gets more and more comfortable with him. Remember, guys, Mac Hollins is playing for the Bills. And we all remember what a pain in the nothing you got from Mac Hollins here in Atlanta a couple years back. Khalil Shakir has been banged up as well, so there's been a need for another guy out there.
I think, Mike, and again, Josh Allen hasn't thrown a pick this year. Josh Allen hasn't thrown an interception. If you give him another weapon like this, and if Amari Cooper is motivated, Mike, I think things are so bad with the Browns and their quarterback situation, he's probably very happy to be out of there. This could be a real help to a team that now has put themselves in a chance, you know, an opportunity last night to win this division again. Jets internally, I know they traded for Davante Adams. We'll see what he does. Miami, Mike, is Tua coming back, and the Patriots are a joke. So what are the Bills looking at? They're looking at probably winning this division again.
Right, and I know that they couldn't make all the moves to keep much of that roster, not all of the roster, but they moved enough now, I think, towards fixing the wide receiver hole that was left, right, by Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're feeling good about them. They've got, again, great running back in James Cook. Last night, that game was just crazy. We'll talk more about it. I still don't understand how you can give up a Hail Mary to a guy who's – they're just showing you the highlight package of his three Hail Marys in the NFL, and you rush two guys, and then Aaron Rodgers connects and makes it happen. That was wild. The game never should have been that close. McDermott, I thought, was going to have his head explode going into the locker room at halftime doing the interview with ABC.
Yeah, listen, they – even though they were close and they made it a game at halftime, it's like they can't make the plays they need to, and I still blame Aaron Rodgers. I know he was throwing his receivers under the bus, and then ironically they make this trade for Davante Adams today. Love to hear from you guys. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes and this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. As we were talking about college football, and I was saying these one-loss teams now are playing for a real opportunity to not be in the playoff. You get two losses. We don't know how the rest of the season plays out, and there are a bunch of teams that are facing that, including Georgia this weekend playing at Texas, Alabama as well playing Tennessee. But we also found out today, Mike, that Georgia Tech and Georgia are going to play in Mercedes-Benz next year for the first time. Clean old-fashioned hate is going to be played off campus since 1913. Good idea?
Well, good idea to make $10 million to help go get better players and everything else that entails. I know that Jay Batt sent an email to Tech fans who, by the way, this is a separate package from your season tickets, but you will get first, crack at the better tickets that are going to be allotted for Georgia Tech. But it's, you know, it's kind of the way of the world. I felt that, and the irony of this is if you can lock in half the stadium, that's probably better than, I'm not being a wise ass, that's better than what you get at Bobby Dodd, where nearly 75% of it becomes Georgia fans every other year, Carl.
Yeah, I think it's a good move for Tech, but I also love the fact that our two state schools should be playing in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I like this idea.
Do you like this idea of moving ahead as a permanent location?
Well, I have no issues with it because, again, you know, when you talk about whether you want this on campus, right? And I've been to both. We've been down to Georgia Tech. We've been to Athens for this game. Here's the problem, Mike. In recent years, to be quite honest, it's been a blowout, right? I mean, if you go back the last 8 years or so, prior to Coach, you know, Rick leaving, I just feel like this has not been a rivalry. It's been one-sided. But I like the fact that they're trying to do this, maybe incorporate some more fans. You said it makes some more money for NIL. Great. But this is what the biggest venue should be hosting our two biggest state schools. There's no problem with this.
Some Georgia fans would say, look, you know, I got season tickets for Georgia, and every other year I get to watch my team. As you said, historically now, they've just beaten up on Tech. It's so one-sided. But Brent Key is here to do something about that, and it is kind of the chicken and the egg. By getting more revenue coming in, Brent can then throw more money at NIL and get more recruits. They've got some big-time recruits coming to the Notre Dame game, by the way, for a visit that hopefully, if you're a Tech fan, they can lock in. But this is the way of the world. I know there'll be some Tech fans that don't like, you know, losing a game at Bobby Dodd. But as we said, as this rivalry needs to get twisted and turned around. When Brent was a player, George O'Leary could win some of these games. Matter of fact, Tech won three in a row. Imagine that. You know, that was kind of like the death knell for Jim Donnan, which eventually got Mark Richten as head coach.
Well, remember at the end of a Rick tenure, I mean, you know, Tech's winning, not every year, but they're winning. And I think a lot of Georgia fans were like, why are we losing to Georgia Tech? Even at the end of the Rick era. So, you know, Kirby comes in. He's had a pretty dominant run here. I want to see if Tech is able to do exactly what you're talking about, which is make this a competitive run where, you know, again, maybe they win a couple of years and then Georgia wins or vice versa. But as far as the game being moved, and you guys can comment, Turtle, if you get time, let's put a poll up, man, and ask our listeners, because I think a lot of Georgia fans have a say about this. I do think, Mike, having it on campus, there is something special about that for both of these schools. But I also think coming to Atlanta and being here and attracting more people to the product, I think it'll be good.
I think it's going to look cool in Mercedes-Benz. I mean, like, I can see both sides of the argument. But until Tech starts to win back the home field advantage in this rivalry, it's kind of a moot point. You know, Kirby in that first year when he had to build this thing and get the offensive line, everything, he lost to Coach, the first year to Coach Paul Johnson, and then he's won six in a row. So 6-1 Kirby is. Rick lost that game in 14, you're referring to. But it just seems like it's been so one-sided. That's why Brent Key is here. That's why the big money folks at Tech have committed more resources. And this, look, give credit to the athletic director. Jay Batt knows what he's doing. And this is just another source of revenue to go do all those things we just talked about.
No, listen, I've been very impressed with the way Batt has handled things and come in and help grow revenue and be able to do some of the things Tech's doing. And again, we saw renovations to the stadium already. They're going to continue that. And I think that, Mike, that's an ongoing process. I don't know if that ever ends. You know, Georgia's going to Texas this weekend. Texas did the same thing, Mike, where for years the stadium wasn't enclosed. And they said, let's enclose it. And it took years to do. A&M did the same thing. I think this is like an ongoing thing. Tech continues to upgrade the facilities.
Well, it started with O'Leary back in the day. And ironically, O'Leary then, you know, was going to take that Notre Dame job. And then, of course, he left. But O'Leary, one of his arguments was, you know, when I come to recruiting, I can't be bringing recruits into a 40,000-seat stadium. I've got to have that big, you know, north end zone filled up. And that's what they did. And unfortunately, it hasn't been, you know, exactly filled because the team hasn't really, you know, we've talked, you know, how Tech is between the fans tuning out Paul Johnson or just not being satisfied with every 4 or 5 years making a run. But I do believe Brent's got a plan. Crucial win for them up in North Carolina last week. Imagine, Carl, as you said, to knock off Notre Dame. Certainly plausible. Got to have their A game, no mistakes.
Yeah, I think if they can run the ball like they did, again, North Carolina's a different animal. I get that. But I feel like Brent Key's committed to that, and he's got a hell of a running back in Jamal Haynes. I think if they can run the ball and control the clock, they'll be in this game. Poll questions up at Dukes and Bell 929. Love it or hate it. Get it? Old-fashioned hate. Georgia Tech moving to Mercedes-Benz. You love it? Or do you hate it? Do you like it at all? What do you think? You guys can hit us up on the poll question at Dukes and Bell 929. I think we knew this was official, but now you're having folks who report strictly on the NFL talk about this, including Ian Rappaport, who says Atlanta is going to host Super Bowl in 2028 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Mike. So I guess people were not aware. I feel
it
like
was
we
rumored,
talked about
was it.
It
confirmed?
Yeah. So I guess you can say that now because a lot of, you know, whether it's Rappaport or Schefter or a bunch of folks running with this. So we are going to host the Super Bowl in 2028. We get it again. When do we have it? 17, 18?
Yeah, it would be basically about 10 years between Super Bowls because it was the Rams-Patriots. It was a pretty awful game. Patriots won that one here. That's the one where the Saints got screwed on the no-call of the pass interference.
Thank goodness. All right, man. A lot of stuff going on today. Seth Emerson's going to join us. SEC will talk Dogs. He writes about the Dogs for The Athletic, does a terrific job. And we'll break all of this down with him and ask him his thoughts about, you know, the Tech Georgia game moving to Mercedes-Benz. But we'll also ask him about this Georgia team, man. I mean, it's interesting. And Randy said before he got off today, he feels like Georgia could play their best game and still lose to Texas because they're a better team. That's where Georgia's been the last few years. It didn't matter if a team came in and played their best game. You were just going to out-talent them, play better, and at the end, you know, you were going to win. And that's interesting. Like, I haven't thought of it that way because I still feel like Georgia's very capable of going in and stealing this game away. I just think they got to come in and play perfect, which is something they haven't done.
That's it. The penalties, you know, no mental mistakes. The secondary, we had Malachi Starks, you know, saying, look, we've got to tighten this stuff up. But, you know, not having, like, a historic, that's the thing, yeah, historic defense and, you know, a guy in Stetson Bennett that was just so clutch. Carson Beck has shown the ability to be as elite as any quarterback out there. But it just, you said this, I think, to start the season. Georgia right now, until that defense improves, just looks like all the other teams in the top 10. Dynamic offense, yeah. Average defense.
Average. Texas, by the way, I say steal the game because Texas is the favorite in this game. 3.5 points right now. The over-under is 56.5. So, you know, they expect some scoring to happen, and so do I, Mike. But, you know, are we talking about what, 35, 28, 36, you know, 27? What are we talking about?
I mean, the passing defense numbers certainly put them up there as the number one passing defense, but then you look at who they've played. And, again, Michigan's not able to throw the ball like Georgia. Anybody they've played has not been able to step up to the way – Carson Beck has shown. Now, Carson Beck's also shown you he can step on his ding-dong in the first half against Alabama.
Wet the bed.
459 yards against an average, I mean, let's be honest, call it what it is. That's a bad Mississippi State team, but you still know your quarterback can sling it. But I just, we went round and round with Connor Riley yesterday. Does it feel like you want to get into another shooting match? Is that how you're going to win football games for Georgia? Because that's basically what Connor was thinking the game plan will be. And I said, just run the damn ball.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, 15-5 are not bad numbers for Carson Beck considering. But if you do that, Mike, you are then putting it on his shoulders. And here's the other problem. You're without two wide receivers that you thought would be here for various reasons. Mm-hmm. Ra-Ra Thomas is gone, Mike. Kobe Young is out. You're with two guys that you thought would be on the field for you, and now you're saying, okay, we're good enough. Carson Beck can just carry us, and if we need to throw for 400 or 500 yards, whatever it's going to be, he can do that. I feel like, Mike, that's never been Kirby's thing. It didn't matter who the offensive coordinator was, whether it's Todd Monken or Bobo. Kirby's not looking to do that. I think he's always wanted balance, which is why we get back to why Travis Etienne has not touched the ball more.
Yeah, Trevor Etienne has got to get that ball more. It's something we've talked about.
Oh, his brother Travis,
yeah,
excuse me.
But I just felt that this offense, and this gets back to, and I hate to make it all about Bobo again because it's an old saw, but sometimes it rings true. It's just run the damn ball. I mean, use the physicality, but this gets back to their offensive line, and Kirby kind of talked about it yesterday, that report in Dog Nation, saying, look, Tate Ratledge not being able to be out there. We've got some of our team leaders are more like cheerleaders now because they're banged up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got guys that Mykael Williams, he's not been 100% all season long. So you're 100% right. You go in at Texas, it's got to be letter perfect, and you got to hope that, you know, maybe yours, you know, coughs it up once or twice.
Interesting tweet. It's Twitter, not X to us. Eric Porter says, guys, it's not a matter of loving or hating the location for Tech Georgia, but season ticket holders are getting screwed out of the game that's being included in their season tickets. It's just wrong. Other than that, otherwise it'd be a home game. And Eric, I don't disagree with you. I understand. That's why we're asking you this question. But I would also ask you if this raises a lot more money for you, and I'm talking about the program, to be better in so many ways, whether it's recruiting or facilities, Mike, down the road, that could be a benefit.
The game will not be part of Tech's season ticket package, which unfortunately for Tech fans includes a lot of Georgia fans who sell the other tickets on StubHub and save those tickets for when Georgia plays. But as we said, I'm not trying to crack wise. Hopefully Brent's going to change that. But part of this is having the resources, and that's what this – guys, it's a one-off. It's not a permanent situation. It's 1 year. While they're doing some work to Bobby Dodd, 1 year.
Well, more people hitting us up. Don't like it for Tech. Okay. You guys can hit us up. Deuce and Bell 929.
You guys got to start showing up at these games and rep. Look, I know Tech, the number one thing Tech fans love to do is complain about more talk about Georgia. And we're not going down that road. But when you don't show up for your rivalry game, you can't bellyache they're moving it to a neutral site.
Seth Emerson joins us next. SEC Dogs writer for The Athletic. It's Sports Radio 929 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking a lot of college football. Dogs have a big one against Texas this upcoming weekend. And Seth Emerson is here. He covers the Dogs, writes about the SEC for The Athletic. We love his stuff. And Seth, thanks for jumping on with us. Mike and I were talking first and foremost about this move of the Georgia Tech-Georgia game. Again, 1 year. But a lot of fans are hitting us up. We asked them if they like this idea. Tech fans saying not so much because it takes away from their season tickets. It's not included with that. But I think it's a good idea. How do you feel about this?
I think Georgia loves the idea. I mean, Mercedes-Benz is kind of a second home. It's not kind of. It is a second home for them. And potentially – next year. Now, getting to the SEC championship is harder than it used to be in a 16-team league without divisions, but this is potentially setting up Georgia to play Mercedes-Benz twice in a row. So they love it, and obviously it's, you know, I'm sure JBAT and Georgia Tech have looked at the finances of it and the finances to make it work, to make it worth it. I'd be curious to give Brett Key some truth serum to see what he thinks of it. You know, he'll probably say, you know, the right thing publicly. This will help us with revenue sharing coming. This will help us with NIL, et cetera, et cetera. But man, coaches want to win. And the timing of this is what sticks out to me, because I had thought that the Georgia Tech rivalry was getting really not even stale, but like just nothing, to the point where you wondered if Georgia would continue it or Georgia Tech would want to continue it. And then last year, that game was great. You know, Georgia Tech was as competitive as they've been with them since 2016. It was a pretty good atmosphere. It helped that it was a night game at Bobby Dodd Stadium. But, you know, there were a lot of Georgia Tech fans. It wasn't Georgia fans taking it over. And so to sell the next one, the very next home game with Georgia, I guess they really needed the money.
It is Seth Emerson now. Normally his beat is Athens, but we're talking about the Flats today. And it just seems like, you know, Brent Key is on point in the, I said to Coral last segment, that when O'Leary was able to beat, you know, inferior dog coaches. Now, Kirby is not that guy, to your point. They're 12-2 is Georgia in the last 14 of these games. But do you think that Brent Key can, now, a huge game for them against Notre Dame, but do you like the way things are going? The money seems to be the big thing. The big money boosters coming in to support the program.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know too much about exactly what's going on with the big money boosters. The last time I really checked in on Georgia Tech was summer of last year. I did a story on their kind of realignment situation, and I know the concern about whether they'd be get, you know, kind of just left behind. I assume that they are like they're going to be willing to do what it takes probably to keep Clemson and Florida State in that league so that the ACC doesn't fall apart. Because they're better off there rather than, I don't know if they would be picked up by, you know, if it becomes just the SEC and the Big Ten picking up, you know, the North Carolinas and Virginia Techs and, you know, whoever from the ACC. But on the field, Brett Key looks like he's doing the right thing. I mean, you just the fact that they were as competitive as they were with Georgia, and, you know, they've had some good wins, and yeah, we'll see how Notre Dame goes, but they seem to be going in the right direction. It was, you know, Jeff Collins had a way of doing it, and it really didn't work. Brett Key is definitely doing it kind of the opposite way of just no frills, just let's show you some good football, and so far it's working.
Let's talk about this Georgia team. Seth, what do you think is wrong, and why are they not operating at an optimal level? I mean, we know this, even though they're 5-1. A lot of people feel like this doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple ways to look at it. One is that, and I wrote this in my SEC Vibes column on Sunday morning, they have not, in their last three wins, they have not covered the spread. So they've been less than impressive, you know, Kentucky, Auburn, Mississippi State. But, you know, Kentucky, that just was kind of a tough game. All right. And they did not play well, but you win your clunkers. That's the mantra, kind of like the Missouri game 2 years ago. Auburn, I mean, they won that game 31-13. You never thought they were going to lose. Never thought Georgia was in any real danger. And Auburn looks like a competent team if it doesn't turn the ball over, which it didn't against Georgia. So an 18-point home win against Auburn may not be anything to really worry about. And then the Mississippi State game, you know, if you look at the final score, you go, oh, you know, only beat Mississippi State by 10. But, like, Georgia was up 34-10. And then just kind of, I think they probably mentally took their foot off the gas. And, you know, Mississippi State played Texas the week before and was actually closer at halftime than Mississippi State was to Georgia. So we'll see about that. I mean, we really don't know the real Georgia. Like, they have they played a complete game other than Tennessee Tech? No. I mean, the Clemson one is the one that looks the best on paper at the final score, but it was, you know, 6-0 at the half.
Right.
It was the second half when they exploded. If they play the way they did the second half against Alabama, they're going to win the national championship. But if they play the way they did in the first half, they're going to go 8-4 and not even make the playoffs. So we don't know. I think we'll know a lot. I think if Georgia plays a really competitive game on Saturday, even if they lose and it's a close game, I think you have to feel good about them going down the stretch. But a loss is still a loss, and that really reduces their margin for error as far as making the playoff and probably eliminates them from SEC championship game consideration.
Seth Emerson's with us, guys, talking about the Dogs in the biggest game of the year in Austin. In the trenches, Carl's talked about it. I mentioned, you know, the injuries and the offensive line guys out of position. And then the game plan. Is a shootout and just throwing it around all day, is that going to be what they're going to do? Or do you like to see them run a little bit more under Bobo?
You know, I think without Colby Young and without Ra-Ra Thomas over the summer, losing him too, they don't really have an X receiver, that outside receiver guy. And I still think they have good receivers. They're more speedy guys. They're more slot, split end, flanker type guys. And they might need to embrace that. And you might need to play a different way, almost I won't say like a Tennessee Ole Miss type offense, but, you know, spread out and use the pass to set up the run. You've got two dynamic tailbacks in Nate Frazier and Trevor Etienne who specialize in, you know, kind of the more speed rather than the bruising of Branson Robinson, who's injured now. Mike Bobo tends to, over the years, when you look at him, to fit his play calls and his system to what the talent says. You know, 2011, 12, 13, they were more of a throwing team because, you know, Aaron Murray and those receivers, Malcolm Mitchell and company, they were, you know, that was their specialty. 2014, when they had Gurley, Chubb, Michelle, they ran it a lot and had the highest scoring offense in school history. And if you also look at Bobo's track record, whether it was last year at Georgia or those last 4 years in his first stint, 2011, 2014, they get better as the year goes on. Last half of the season, they are humming as an offense. So it could be a case here of he's kind of figured out, all right, this is who we are. And I think you might see more of that, kind of spread it out, pass to set up the run, consistent downfield attack. But, you know, they still want to run the ball. I don't know if you're trying to shorten the game against Texas or even really worry about that too much. They're, you know, Texas has a really good offense and really good passing game. Georgia has a really good offense and passing game. So they're similar in that way, although Georgia may be better at running back.
How do you assess Carson Beck's season? He's been great at times, not so great at other times. Like, that's how I visualize him and watching these first, you know, six games. How do you see him?
Yeah, I mean, inconsistent, but really good when he was good. But like looking at his numbers, I don't have them in front of me, but he might end up with more passing yards than last year. But he already has two games of multiple interceptions, and he had zero of those last year. He never threw more than one in a game. So, you know, just some stuff to work on. He hasn't had Bowers. And McConkey is kind of that safety valve, although he didn't have McConkey for like most of the first half of last year either, and then he didn't have Bowers for three regular season games and had him only a limited basis in the SEC championship. Like I think it's a little overrated. I keep hearing this, you know, lazy narrative that Georgia just doesn't have the receivers and tight ends that, you know, they had. I mean, yeah, they don't have a first round pick like they did last year, and they don't have a 5-star, but They are third in the nation, not the SEC, the nation, in pass plays of 20 and 30 plus yards in each. Mm. Who's catching those balls? Like, they're receivers. They're tight ends. Like, Lawson Lucky is really good. Mm. They're good. And Carson Beck has done a good job of getting them the ball for those plays a lot of the time. I think the offensive line blocking needs to be more consistent. And Beck has had some times where he hasn't made the right decision or maybe has made a, you know, kind of throw that he didn't make last year. So, yeah, and I think he's still been on the whole, pretty good. But he clearly can be a little better.
We talked a lot of Seth Everson joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline about, like, the historically good defenses. You know, and that's something that is it just...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Not to belabor the point, but you had rock stars. I mean, the Trayvon Walkers and the Jordan Davises and the Jalen Carters, the guys, you know, half the Eagles team, for instance. Is that just an average defense just makes Georgia just like everybody else in the top 15?
Yeah, it's kind of jarring to look at their stat ranking now. In the SEC, they're 12th in defensive yards per play. And they've played some good offenses, especially Alabama. And you know, Mississippi State's kind of an underrated offense. It just, I think they may be kind of catching up to where they should be. But, you know, they've also been inconsistent. Like, they looked like a great shutdown defense against Clemson. And they kept the offense in the game against Kentucky. But they've regressed since then, at least results-wise. I mean, obviously, the first half against Alabama was terrible, but you know, then they firmed up in the second half. But you know, and then you know, they didn't do bad against Auburn, and for a half against Mississippi State, they were fine too. But in the second half, just kind of slacked off a little bit. And you know, I think in the secondary, it's not shocking. I mean, they lost three members of the secondary who were all in the NFL, and like Tyke Smith is doing really well there. But I'm not surprised that other teams are running on them, because I wondered about that with the D-line, especially up the middle, because that was a you know, some of you wondered about coming off last season too. I am surprised by how teams are doing it. It's more the edges. If they can firm up on the edges, and it's really about speed and swarm to the ball, then I think they'll be a lot better as a defense, and they'll take their chances with other teams passing on them. That's the Kirby Smart mantra with defenses. We're not going to let you run on us. We're going to make you one-dimensional. And too often, other teams have not had to be one-dimensional because they've been able to run better than Georgia's used to having teams run against them.
Yeah, and I think that's just me, Seth. I think it's personnel. I mean, like, I think to Mike's point, like, you don't have those big stoppers up there, so you're struggling a little bit more than you normally would. Let me ask you this last thing for me. Do both Alabama and Georgia make the playoff? I see these games as elimination games, right? If Georgia loses this weekend, that's two L's. If Alabama loses to Tennessee, that's two L's. There will be a bunch of one-loss teams potentially in front of them. How do you look at that?
I think Alabama and Georgia at 10-2 make the playoff. Tennessee at 10-2, I think, makes the playoff.
Okay.
Because if you play out their schedules, they will have quality wins. If Georgia loses this game, they've already got Clemson as a quality win. Unless they collapse, they could end up winning the ACC. But if they go 10-2 after losing this one Saturday, that means they beat Ole Miss and Tennessee. If Alabama loses on Saturday, but then goes 10-2, they've still got the Georgia game on their resume, unless Georgia classes, obviously. But they'd also end up with a win over LSU and Missouri. I might be forgetting someone else.
But, nope, those are the two ranked teams.
I don't think there are – and if Tennessee loses this game, but they finish 10-2, they end up having a win at Georgia on their resume too.
Right.
So I don't and I think there's some 9-3 teams that'll be in contention, but it's all – guys, you got to look at the big picture. It's not, you can't automatically say it. Like, what if there are some really good teams? Like, Big Ten looks like they got three teams now. And what if Indiana keeps it going,
right,
for instance?
Right.
What if the Big 12 ends up with two teams in there? You know, Iowa State and BYU, yep, and K-State. Like, you know, and Notre Dame. Like, Georgia fans and other SEC fans should probably root for Georgia Tech on Saturday.
Hell yeah.
You want to knock Notre Dame off the map. So you got to think the way you do with the NCAA tournament when you're looking at the bubble. Like, the committee's not going to sit around and say, all right, we're going to pick the number of teams we think are worthy of the playoff. We don't care the number. No, it's 12. They're picking 12. And you're competing not just against what your record's going to be, but against records of other teams.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.